From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation or around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Open lines later in a way you just can't imagine. And next hour, 2012, the biography of a time traveler. First of all, congratulations to our very own George Knapp. He's a longtime investigative reporter for KLAS Television, Eyewitness News in Las Vegas. Well, George and photojournalist Matt Adams have won a coveted Peabody Award for their series Crossfire, Water, Power, and Politics. In addition, photojournalist Alex Brower and producer Ian Russell there also contributed to the piece. Nice job, folks. That is one heck of an award. The U.S. recall of pistachio nuts due to potential salmonella contamination widened as more snack makers and retailers move their nuts from store shelves as a precautionary measure. PepsiCo's North American snack division, Frito-Lay, recalled its unshelled pistachios in 1.75-ounce packages with sell-by dates between July 14, 2009, December 29, 2009. The company said it has received no reports of illness related to the product, but issuing the recall is a precaution. Frito-Lay is also recalling its bagged pistachios in Canada, where they sold under the Munchies brand. The recalled Munchies nuts have sell-by dates of August 4th, 2009 to December 15th of 2009. Jeff Nelkin is a food safety expert. He's worked with CBS, NBC, Inside Edition. We call on him quite often when we have a food safety issue. Jeff, here we go once again. It doesn't seem to end, does it?
No. Like you said, you know, we're on this path of bumping into these incidents, and we've just hit another one.
Now, the pistachios, you know, not the whole world eats pistachios. I like them, but not everybody does. Not as widespread as some of the other salmonella problems we've had with the peanut butter, for example, recently. But in this particular case, how do, you know, like pistachio nuts, Jeffrey, how does it get contaminated?
Well, at this point, what they've identified, I mean, there are many ways it can happen, but so far what they've actually identified is that there was a failure to adhere to what they call GMPs, which are good manufacturing practices, and that they found that they were mixing raw and roasted pistachio nuts during the processing.
What does this tell you about the food safety issue here in the United States?
Well, in this specific instance, it's showing you that failure to follow good management practices can lead to a potential of contamination.
And, Jeff, what's the situation with pasteurized eggs as we get into Easter? What's going on here?
Well, about a week ago, there was a recall on the first time of the organic eggs that are supplied by Costco.
Right.
So this was in the news, and there really hasn't been too much follow-up on it. But basically what we're finding in facilities where, you know, you have chickens is that you have, you know, rats and mice running around, and the facilities are not the cleanest in the world, and there's just many opportunities for salmonella to potentially grow, and about one out of every 20,000 eggs has the salmonella in it. So over the course of, people consuming eggs, you can see that there's an opportunity for salmonella to enter the pathway. And a lot of Americans love to eat scrambled eggs. About 75% of American people love scrambled eggs on the loose side, you know. So this just gives you an opportunity that maybe 3 out of every 10 Americans like their eggs undercooked, like sunny side up.
All right, Jeff. Thank you. Jeff's website, by the way, and I urge all of you to get up to it, foodsafetycoach.com. The dreaded Conficker Windows worm phoned home as ordered Wednesday, but so far hasn't launched a full-scale attack on the Internet. Computer security experts breathed sighs of relief and satisfaction that their predictions that nothing would happen had so far proven true. The worm can take control of unsuspecting PCs running Microsoft's Windows operating system, but its creators likely want to use their vast botnet to send spam or perform other cyber crimes. Details are now emerging about a Chinese-developed kill weapon that potentially could target and destroy, for example, a U.S. aircraft carrier in a single strike. The U.S. Naval Institute, a pro-military organization, notes that a post on a Chinese blog considered credible by military analysts provides a description of an anti-ship ballistic missile that could hit U.S. ships from about 1,200 miles. A senior U.S. naval official at the Pentagon confirmed that such a weapon is a tangible threat from China. It isn't a new threat, and they say the U.S. Navy also has systems, such as the Aegis missile defense system, that can counter the threat posed by what they call the Chinese missile system. The United States and Russia committed to resetting strained relations as Presidents Barack Obama and Dmitry Medvedev issued sweeping statements on global cooperation, including a headline-grabbing agreement to quickly negotiate a new treaty to limit nuclear weapons. March auto sales plunging, U.S. auto sales tumbled sharply as the nation's largest automakers in March, although some officials with some of the companies said they hope the worst of the downturn is now behind them. Sales at U.S. automakers General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, and Japanese rivals Toyota, Honda, Nissan, all fell around 36% from a year ago levels. All posted gains higher than January and February, though, and all but Toyota topped forecasts from sales tracker Edmunds.com. There are already too many people living on planet Earth, according to one of the most influential science advisors in the U.S. government. Nina Fedorov says humans had exceeded the Earth's limits of sustainability. Dr. Fedorov has been science and technology advisor to the U.S. Secretary of State since 2007, initially working with Condoleezza Rice. Under the new Obama administration, she now advises Hillary Clinton. She basically says that we need to continue to decrease the growth of the global population. The planet can't support many more people, stressing the need for humans to become much better at managing wild lands and, in particular, water supplies. A Santeria priest who sued a Texas city for denying him permission to sacrifice a goat as part of a religious ceremony has now asked the federal appeals court to let him resume the ritual in his home. Jose Merced, 46 years old, accused the city of Euless, Texas, of trampling on his constitutional right to religious exercise, but a U.S. District Judge, John McBride, sided with the Fort Worth suburb last year and dismissed the native's claims from Puerto Rico. Merced asked the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to overturn that judge's ruling. In Salem, Massachusetts, a 9-year-old boy whose mother is charged with reckless child endangerment for withholding her son's cancer medication has died. A lawyer for the boy's father, Eric Fraser, says the little boy, Jeremy, had leukemia, autism, died in hospice care. Singer Natalie Cole has been inundated with offers of kidneys from fans after she revealed on Larry King's show that she needed a transplant. The daughter of Nat King Cole told Larry King that she was facing a lifetime of dialysis after both her kidneys failed following treatment for hepatitis C. While still on the air, King was able to present Cole with a pile of emails from viewers offering their own organs. Cole appeared stunned and said, "There's some great human beings out there." If you go up to coasttocoastam.com, take a look at the hot story about the frog fitted with a false leg. A frog called Bruley is believed to be the first in the world to be fitted with an artificial leg. The giant bullfrog had his shattered lower leg bone replaced with an inch-long metal pole in a 2-hour operation in South Africa. He's doing well. CBS is pulling the plug on the soap opera Guiding Light. It began as a 15-minute serial on NBC Radio on January 25, 1937, and debuted on CBS television in 1952, focusing on the fictional town of Springfield and the Spalding, Lewis, and Cooper families. Okay, now listen to this story. Sometimes technology just goes way too fast. Now a professor from Harrisburg Technical College in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, has invented a robotic computer talk show host he calls Roby. Professor Cy Waters developed the robot to, as he says, balance talk shows with an unbiased voice. Now, our network has been experimenting with Dr. Waters' robot, and well, tonight you get a chance to talk with the robot. I should call him or it or whatever it may be, but I've got Professor Waters on the line with us right now. Professor Waters, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Good evening, Mr. Norrie.
Tell me a little bit about how long you've been developing this computerized talk show robot.
Oh, I've actually been working on this program for almost 15 years now, and this is really a manifesting of a lot of work, a lot of people working together, and a real dream come true. You know.
Why did you decide to do this? I mean, there's so many other things you could develop. Why a robotic talk show host?
Well, this is an age of interactive. Everything's interactive today, George. You know that.
True.
That's what it's all about. And this is just taking technology to the next level. And so many of the programs today, so much of talk radio is just so, such an edge. You know, and so I've actually programmed the computers to recognize certain catchphrases, so that they. The anger and, to kind of guide the conversation away from that kind of stuff.
We've got a picture of Roby on the coasttocoastam.com website. It's
sure.
A feature article. You see that Lex has this posted, a picture you supplied us.
Yes,
Doctor, why did not you make this robot to look human? I mean, it looks like, computer machines.
Well, actually the next generation, we're going to actually develop... using computer programs, we will actually project an image of the person that it's replacing. You know, actually, we're talking with Fox News right now to perhaps when O'Reilly goes on vacation, you would see an image of Bill O'Reilly. And so that's the next generation we're focusing on now, but that's in the future, though.
Where did you get the money to develop this, and how much did it cost?
It's actually taken quite a bit to develop it, George. But the actual cost of this to the network would only be $45,000.
That's it.
That's it.
All right. Now, where did you get the money to develop this? Because I'm sure you said it took 15 years.
Well, it's been funded actually through government funding. So government
taxpayer money. You're saying
taxpayer money. Yes, sir.
Well, all right. As you know, our network has been experimenting with this robotic talk show host, and I have it. Professor, thank you for being on Coast to Coast.
Oh, you're very welcome, George. I love Coast to Coast audience. Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck with your endeavors. Now, we have Roby back in Los Angeles, and for the very first time, we are going to hook it up with you and take some live phone calls, at least for a little bit of time. So let me give you the phone numbers. Fire away, talk as if you normally talk, and let's see how this thing reacts. I'm curious, very curious. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And here's a wild card line for you, 818-501-4731. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with your phone calls, and we'll flip the switch and let Roby take over, the computerized talk show host, and see how it goes next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Next hour, an incredible story about 2012 and a time traveler. Now let's get Roby, the computerized robot talk show host. And we'll go to our first caller, east of the Rockies, Philip in San Antonio, Texas. You're on the air with us, and you're the very first human to talk to a computerized robotic talk show host. Hi, Philip.
Excellent. This is awesome. Howdy, howdy from Lone Star State. How you doing? I wanted to ask what the speaker thought about the Codex Alimentarius and what he could tell the listeners about GMO. And frankenfood.
I'm sorry, Philip, but I do not know what those initials are. I have not been programmed with those initials, and I cannot answer that. West of the Rockies, you are on, Mary. Hello, Mary. Mary, you are on the air. We will go to our first-time caller line in Sarasota, Florida. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
You're a male voice?
I am a what?
Male instead of female?
I don't know what that means.
Well, I was thinking of a manifestation for you later on in life. Maybe Max Headroom?
I do know what Max Headroom is. That was that television show that was on several years ago.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Let us go to our wild card line. Chris, you are on Coast to Coast.
Hey, how's it going on there, Mr. Robot?
I am fine.
All right. I was basically calling, had that G20 meeting, that summit over there, and our president met with the Queen of England, and I seen that he did a little bow to the Queen, and I was a little disgruntled as far as having our president bow to a leader of another nation, so and showing a subservitude to that, and I was just going to see if I could get some input.
Well, Chris, I would say that that was showing respect to the Queen, and the President of the United States also gave her an iPhone, I understand, even though I have been told and programmed that she already has an iPhone, but I think it was fine that he bowed to the Queen. Next call from Houston, Texas. You are on Coast to Coast with Roby.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I do not understand you. Would you please be more definitive in your speech pattern? Thank you.
You are quite welcome. Fairbanks, Alaska caller, Philip. Nice people. Hello, Philip.
In somewhat chilly Fairbanks, Alaska, and I would like to know if you know who is going to win the 2010 Iditarod sled dog race, that 1,000-mile sled dog race from Anchorage to Nome next year.
There will be no race in Alaska, Philip, because of weather conditions there. It will be too warm. They will postpone it for the first time officially.
Yes, and we had very bad weather this year and some horrendous storms and very cold weather down to 55 below. What do you think the weather is going to be on the trail next year?
Close to 80 or 85 degrees. Let us go now to Jackson, Michigan for another call. You are on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, hello. I was wondering what you... Hey.
Hi.
I was just wondering what you thought about Spirit.
Spirit? Spirit? I do not understand what you mean. Please rephrase.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Spirit. What is Spirit? Michael in Knoxville, Tennessee. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Yes, Roby. I wanted to ask, are you the future of television and radio?
I have been programmed to fill in for talk show hosts around the country and present a very unbiased perspective of news and events. I do not know if I will be the future, but I do believe I am the present.
One more question.
Yes.
Will you be able to give the human presence that the viewer would want to tune in to see?
That has been one of the sticky points of our program developers, trying to get a human feeling and personality. However, they believe that my personality is as good as it gets, and so you get what you pay for, so to speak. You are quite welcome. And George Norrie will be back for the rest of Open Lines on Coast to Coast in just a moment. In just a moment. In just a moment. In just a moment. In just a moment.
Well, next hour, 2012, Biography of a Time Traveler. Looking forward to that, indeed. Well, I'll be back in a moment. The robot, of course, has been put away. I could see that happening. I could see that robot on the air all around this country one day. I think Professor Waters is onto something. Back with your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. We'll go to your calls. Hey, by the way, as you know, I do the first Sunday of every month. So here we are into April already. So I'll be hosting Sunday night's program. And beginning this Sunday and on the first Sunday of every month that I'm on, only that Sunday, for many of you who are emerging artists, you know, you have your rock bands, your musicians, but you don't get a chance for people to hear what you do, and you work hard at it, and you try, and you don't have that big American Idol break. I tell you what we're going to do. Beginning this Sunday night, and on the first Sunday of every month, only that Sunday, I will be playing some of your bumper music selections from what I call emerging artists around this country and in Canada and wherever you're hearing us, who might not be heard anywhere else. All you have to do is go to coasttocoastam.com, send the produced CD and the authorization to play it to Tom Danheiser, our producer. The address is on our website, coasttocoastam.com. Just click that and fire away. You might want to recommend your best cut of your produced CD, and Coast to Coast staff will listen to it. And, you know, some of the better CDs will get on as bumper songs each Sunday night. Already, I'd mentioned this a couple times ago on a Sunday I was on, and we're getting inundated with CDs. But, you know, it's one of our ways of just saying thank you for those of you who support Coast to Coast, and also those of you who are artists, you know, whether you're 20 years old or 40 years old, whatever age you are, if you've, you know, you've tried in the music business for so long. And what I'll do for you, too, include, if you would, your web address in that letter that you send to Tom, because I'll put that on. We'll check it out. But I'll put that on, and we'll give people an opportunity, if they're interested, to hear what you do, and you'll get a little exposure on 500-plus radio stations across this vast country and in North America. And we hope that helps you, but that's kind of our way of saying thank you for listening to Coast. I know you've tried. I know you've worked hard at what you love, and this will be a little opportunity for you. So fire away on that. Let's go to the phones. Go to Birmingham, Alabama. Mark, you are on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, George?
I'm doing great.
Listen, Roby, I think, is in good company in his ignorance of American history.
Probably.
Barack Obama is the first president in the history of the United States to bow to the British monarch. People that know anything about our history know that when we reestablished diplomatic relations with Great Britain after the Revolution, when we sent our diplomats, we did not send them to the monarch like every other country in the world. We send our diplomatic credentials to the prime minister because we do not recognize the authority of the monarch of Britain. It was also, well, personally, I think it's really a bad precedent when you have American citizens go over there and accept titles. They are not valid in the United States, but I think it should be illegal for American citizens to receive British titles, even though they're ceremonial and they don't mean anything anymore.
Right. See, the robot, Mark, thought it was dignified. I thought President Obama should have stood his ground, basically, as president and met the Queen on that level and, you know, just shook her hand.
Well, George, I think this is just another example of the fact that Barack Obama should have taken a couple of history classes in all of his education.
Well, or somebody his staff should have told him, don't you think? Somebody in charge of etiquette should have said.
You know that the people that were in charge of the etiquette in the White House that had been there, I believe, since the Clinton administration, were all fired by it when Obama went into the White House. You know that, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he cleaned house.
Well, of course, most presidents do clean house, right?
Well, what I'm saying is the etiquette people, the staff at the White House have been there since George Bush Sr. They're not political positions.
Ah, I see. They just stay through all administrations, you're saying.
Absolutely. And so, you know, this guy going in there, it's just another one of his faux pas. I mean, you know, I think he's doing a terrible job. I think he's driving the country into the ground. And this is just another example of why you don't elect someone, one, that doesn't have any executive experience, and two, you know, has been in national politics, a one-term senator. Maybe we'll learn from our mistakes.
Well, that tells you how frustrated Americans were to elect someone with minimal experience. Let's go to San Jose, California. Carol, welcome to the program. You're up with us. Hi, Carol.
Good evening, George.
Good morning. Hey.
Here's one listener who would far rather listen and talk with a human being than a machine.
Well, thank you, Carol, and I hope more people say this. I mean, in this era of anything, it's kind of frightening to hear a machine actually talk and converse with people.
But the machine half the time doesn't have answers.
No, that's true, too.
A person has, or they know where to find the answer. Also, the human announcers have much clearer, easier-to-understand voices.
Well, and the computer's only as good as whoever programs it. And if somebody doesn't program it with all the answers, it's not going to have them.
People stay up all night listening to these shows. I think half the time they're lonely. I worked for a radio station years ago in the office. And people would call, I think, sometimes out of just wanting to talk to a friend, even though they didn't meet us face-to-face most times.
One of the reasons, Carol, that as long as I'm not on vacation, I have pledged since I came aboard full-time in 2003, 6 years now, that if I am working during a holiday, I will be on the air on that holiday. Not for you, Carol, and not for everyone else. It's for that one person who has no relatives, who doesn't have an opportunity to celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas with somebody that they care about. That's part of our family, and that's why I do it, and you're absolutely right.
There are a lot of people out there who match that description. You never know when any one person calls. They might just be what you're describing.
Yeah, absolutely. Carol, thanks so much for your call. Let's go to New Orleans. Peter, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Peter.
Love you to death. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, Peter.
What I wanted to say was I feel like Robbie or Roby could kind of be the new fairness doctrine implemented for the left. I just feel like they're already trying to put conservatives out of business, and this is their next move.
Yeah, he's only $45,000. That's not bad.
Yeah, comes pretty cheap for him, or for us, I guess, since we're paying the bill.
You never know. You never know. Thanks for the call, Peter. Randy in Toronto, you're up with us on the international line. Randy, go ahead.
That's one of the main reasons why I'm calling, George, is because you're a kind man.
Well,
I was listening to the night when you announced that you'd be writing a co-authored book called Worker in the Light.
Yes.
And you mentioned to all of us that you'd be dueling out proceeds to the book, to the poor, to the disadvantaged of America.
Yes.
And I was always curious, what was the total amount that you did give out, and what was the individual payouts, and what would you be doing with Worker in the Light 2 if you decide to write that book?
Well, believe it or not, Worker in the Light 2, first of all, I'll tell you, I'm not going to give you the names of the people who have received checks, but I've written checks of about $12,000, and they have run the gamut up to $500, so you can figure that out. In terms of the second book, Journey into the Light, I have made no provisions to pass that on other than the rest of the proceeds I've given to my children. Let's go to Jeff in Elk, California. And believe me, being an author, you either hit a home run and make a fortune or you don't make a lot. And Bill Burns and I did not make a lot on the first book, but you know, it paid the publisher and everybody was happy. So we've gone into book two, book three, book four over the next few years. Let's go west of the Rockies. Jeff, you with us?
Yes, I am. And you were generous with what you did do, and I appreciate that. I wanted to talk to you about earthquakes, but before I do, I really think that Roby and Phil, who sings your Friday nights out, I think they got a career together doing a duet of that song. I haven't sung together, man.
Now, that is a show I might listen to, or a song for sure.
I think that would be fun to hear them together. Yeah, Roby doing background for Phil. the thing I wanted to bring up, we've had some recent earthquakes up here in the Bay Area. There's been that earthquake swarm last year in Ross Mitchell's area there near Reno. We've had mammoth lake quakes over the years, and now we've got swarms in Indio. And I want to know when you're going to get Jim Berkland on again to talk about these things. This most recent one was 4.3, and it was felt in a wide area of, I think it was Morgan Hill area, of, south of San Jose. And we've been getting more and more quakes, and of course, you bring this up all the time, but this ring of fire in the Pacific with these sevens and eights and nines, it really seems to be activating, George. And I'd like to hear something from either Jim Berkland or this fellow they put on the TV out here with the last name of Oppenheimer, like the rocket scientist who works for USGS. And maybe you could get those two to have a debate. Because
cool.
I know that,
man, I wonder if they would. You know, Jim used to work with the USGS, and they bumped him.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see those two bump against each other and see what happens, man.
Maybe we'll do a full Earth Changer show. I'd like that, and we'll have all of these guys on.
Love to hear it, and love what you do, and looking forward to the journey in the light.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Next up, let's go to Rochester, New York. Eric, you are on Coast to Coast. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how you doing, George?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Hey, good. Long-time listener. I got a question. How much taxpayer money did Professor Waters take to develop this Roby?
That's a good question. He didn't get too specific other than to say it was taxpayer dollars
that he took.
I'm sorry?
Is there any patents, U.S. patents on Roby?
I would assume he does have a patent on it. I didn't ask him that question, but I got to believe he does.
Well, wouldn't you think that the American people should own that? If he took taxpayers' money?
That's a pretty good idea. I don't know how grant money works.
Well, it's just like the pharmaceutical company has given University of Rochester all the money to develop that HPV vaccine, and they turn around and they sell it.
And they make a fortune.
And they sold it to the pharmaceuticals. They get a percentage, and the pharmaceuticals get a percentage, but the taxpayers' money paid for it.
I mean, do you know how much money he would make if he sold 300 of those things at $45,000 a piece, he'd make a fortune.
I have no idea. I don't know what he took from the American taxpayers.
I know, but I mean, multiply 45,000 times 300. How much is that?
I don't know, but what's his cost to make them?
$13 million, something like that. Oh, now, I think now that he has the prototype down, it probably doesn't cost much at all for him, Eric.
I understand it. Well, I don't know. They should be giving the taxpayers money back after they develop all these things with these companies if they're taking grant money.
Or at least whatever we invested with a little interest. Yeah,
exactly.
I'd be for that. Eric, thanks. Kathleen, Washington, Illinois, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller, but I just wanted to let you know that I much prefer you over that robot.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. I don't think the network is even considering the robot for this show, but they did want me to experiment with it.
I wanted to tell you that I thank you for being on all the holidays and stuff, because it really makes a difference to us people that don't have anybody.
Yeah, you're by yourself, huh?
Yeah, and I'm a veteran, and I like it when you're on Veterans, too, Veterans Days and stuff like that.
Well, and I've been checking the old calendar. We've got Thanksgiving shows coming up, and Christmas is going to be on a Friday this year. And I moved my vacation after Christmas so I can be on the air that night. And it's a great time. It's just, Kathleen, I've got to tell you something. I've been doing this show now full-time for 6 years.
Yeah.
I have never ever in my life, and I've been in this business since I was 19 years old, and I'm 58 today, I've never met a group of people, listeners to this program, people like you, who have been so warm, so supportive, so knowledgeable about everything. And I mean, I can't wait until it's airtime just to get on the air. I feed off you, you know.
Yeah,
I'm Dracula. But, I mean, really, it is. And I want to thank you for listening.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it. Susan in Shreveport, Louisiana, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Susan.
Hi, George. I initially wanted to call and ask this of Robbie, but since he's not on the air anymore, I'm going to ask this of you.
Well, all right, and I trust I'll give you a better answer than Roby the robot.
Well, I'm sure the world's going to get a kick out of this one. I was going to see if he could give me any advice on how to get a 3.5-year-old boy to bed at this time of night.
Does he listen to Coast to Coast, Susan?
Yes, he does. He usually lays in the bed with me because I'm an insomniac, and I sit up all night, and I'm listening to Coast to Coast, and he listens to it with me till he goes to sleep.
Is he awake right now?
Yes, he is.
Can he talk on the phone?
We can try.
All right, let's see. He's 3 years old, right?
Yeah. He might can talk a little bit. Hold on.
Well, let's just put the kid on. What's his name, by the way?
Joseph.
All right, let's go get the little guy. 3 years old.
On the phone?
Yeah.
Hi. Hi, Joseph. How are you?
I'm Joseph.
Hey, Joseph?
Yeah.
Hey, Joseph, I need you to say something. All right?
What?
Say coast to coast.
Okay.
Can you say that? Say coast to coast. Yeah, you like radio shows?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. What's your favorite subject? Do you like?
Yeah.
Do you like UFOs?
Yeah.
Do you like Bigfoot stories?
Yeah.
You do?
Bigfoot.
Yeah. Do you say hi to my producer Tom? He's listening back in Los Angeles. Say hi, Tom.
Yeah, me too.
Joseph?
Yes.
Say hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
There you go. All right, give me your mother back.
Grandmother.
Oh, grandmother.
Grandmother. How about that? Mother's gone to bed.
Grandma's got to take care of him. He's a cute kid.
Yeah, thank you. No, and I wanted to thank you guys for, like the previous caller, for being there. I'm a first-time caller, and I listen to you guys every night, and I have learned so much, and it's been so thought-provoking, and it's made me think about so many things that I normally wouldn't think about, that the normal person wouldn't just stop and think about of the clear blue.
You know, we were trying to get college credit for folks listening to this show, and Bill Burns has been working on that for me, and he was getting close, and then something happened. We have to try to push that again. That would be great. We could all be PhDs, Susan, can't we?
Oh, that would be great, and I'm really looking forward to the show tonight. That's one of my highest interests because I'm a born-again Christian, and all these different theories, you know, it puts it all together and it all comes right there.
You got it. Okay, Susan, thanks. And heard Joseph in the background there. We can't keep the little kid quiet now. Let's see. We've got about 1 minute for you, TJ in Tucson. That's all I have. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just have two comments. An inventor says that robot's not going to have any biases, but it's going to have the biases of whoever programs it.
I would agree.
And my other comment is I think that's just the beginning of people with left-wing ideas and politicians to avoid speaking directly to the people.
Good point, TJ. You sound, by the way, just like Jimmy Carter, former president. I'll be back in a moment as we go time traveling. 2012, Biography of a Time Traveler in Coast to Coast AM.